Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. It's a sad day for Springfield, Illinois and Springfield, Vermont. People in Springfields all across America thought they lived in the real Springfield, meaning Springfield in the TV cartoon, The Simpsons. Creator Matt Groening did not reveal the location for decades, but finally confessed in Smithsonian Magazine. It's Springfield in his home state of Oregon. The town's community relations manager told the New York Times, "Okay, we knew that. You're listening to Morning Edition."
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm Audie Cornish, and this is Kane Monroy.
Name's Kane, and I'm 9 years old. My arcade is called Kane's Arcade. It's open on weekends only, and it's really cheap.
Really cheap. Kane's Arcade in East Los Angeles is made of cardboard boxes that he found in his dad's used auto parts store. Just imagine the games you'd find at any beachfront arcade, only made by a 9-year-old.
Shoot a basket, win tickets.
Drop the claw, try to grab a prize.
Cardboard skee ball, the list goes on.
My next game I built was a soccer game. First of all, then it had no goalies. People said it was too easy, so I bought army goalies, built my blockers. I told him, is it easy now? It's pretty hard, so you get 2 tickets to make it in here.
And now, thanks to independent filmmaker Nirvan Mullick, hundreds of thousands of people have visited Kane's Arcade. Well, virtually anyway.
Mullick made a short documentary that's gone viral on the web after the filmmaker stopped by Kane's father's store looking for a car door handle. He saw the arcade and became its first paying customer.
I asked him how much it was to play. He's like, for $1, you get 4 turns, but for $2, you get a fun pass. Like, well, how many turns do you get a fun pass? You get 500 turns for a fun pass. I got a fun pass.
For that price, we would have bought one, too.
Mullick decided to make the 9-year-old's day by organizing a flash mob to boost business.
All these people came here to play your arcade. Did you know they were coming?
No.
Are you ready to run your arcade?
Yeah.
All right, what'd you guys come here to do? Go ahead. Welcome to Kane's Arcade, man.
On YouTube, a video of the flash mob playing at young Kane's cardboard arcade has logged more than 400,000 hits.
Not only that, Mullick has set up a scholarship fund on the website, canesarcade.com, to help the boy pay for college. The first day the video was online, it raised over $60,000.
Mullick says when Kane Monroy learned how much money had been donated, in true business fashion, the arcade owner tried to figure out how many fun passes he would have had to sell.
Oh, Kane's Arcade.
Kane's Arcade.
Oh, Kane's Arcade.
Kane's Arcade.
It's the best cardboard arcade ever been made.
Ever made.
Grab yourself a fun pass and y'all come on down and play. If you got the pluck to try your luck, get on down to Kane's Arcade.
Next, we'll hear from a woman whose ability to manage even the most headline-grabbing scandal has earned her the respect of CEOs, celebrities, and heads of states. And now, it's made her famous. Crisis management guru Judy Smith is the woman who inspired the new ABC drama Scandal. The show revolves around the character inspired by Smith. Olivia Pope is played by actor Kerry Washington. A self-proclaimed gladiator in a form-fitting Tahari suit, she devotes her career, those near her would say her life, to helping people get out of a bind. Here's a clip of Olivia Pope wrapping up a tough negotiation.
Since we have a deal, I am going to take what we paid for. Pleasure doing business with you. I thank you, my client thanks you, and I hope to never see you again.
Judy Smith is the co-creator of the program and an executive producer, but in real life, she's always preferred to stay out of the spotlight. She's advised everyone from President George H.W. Bush to former White House intern Monica Lewinsky and NFL quarterback Michael Vick during their times of crisis. And now she's the author of a new book. It's titled Good Self, Bad Self, Transforming Your Worst Qualities into Your Biggest Assets. And Judy Smith joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
As we are having you here, you know, Judy, I saw the first couple of episodes, and it's a fast-moving, nail-biting drama. She's hopping planes, defying the district attorney by looking to not say seizing evidence before he does. She even steals a kiss with a fictional president, President Grant of the United States. And so I think what a lot of people want to know, is this your life?
Well, let me just say that I think Shonda Rhimes has done a terrific job at really dramatizing the sort of fast-paced, crisis-driven life that we lead every day. And, of course, it's television, so it is much more sexier and exciting than my everyday life.
Take us through the steps from meeting Grey's Anatomy creator Shonda Rhimes to seeing Scandal air on ABC. I guess there's a lot of potential for crises to derail this project.
Yes, I mean, that is actually true. We started on this, believe it or not, about a year and a half, almost 2 years before we got it on the air. And when I met her, it's probably like your typical interview in the sense that, you know, someone says, pull me out in 10 minutes, you know, call me so I can get out of the meeting. So it was originally supposed to be a 15-minute chat, and we ended up just talking for 2.5 hours, just about crisis. And by the time I left, Betsy Beers, who's the executive producer, Shonda looked at her and said, I got to have it. We've got to do the show. And it's the first show that she has written herself since Private Practice.
That must have been music to your ears.
Yes. I mean,
I got to do the show.
Yes. It was a very exciting moment.
Actor Kerry Washington, Judy, plays Olivia Pope, the character you inspired. She is also the lead. You've mentioned that many African-American actresses audition for one role. And yet, as I watched, I thought Olivia Pope is a strong, smart, tough-as-nails, successful businesswoman who happens to be African-American. Is there a reflection on barriers the series is breaking down?
It is exciting in the sense that you have Kerry Washington, who's African-American, myself, and Shonda Rhimes. So it's one of those unique situations that I think hasn't happened since the 60s.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Viviana Hurtado, and we're talking with the woman who inspired the new television series, Scandal. Our guest is professional crisis manager Judy Smith. In the first episode of Scandal, Judy, Olivia says that she needs to look someone in the eyes to see if they're telling the truth. So how much of your crisis management job is getting your clients to that place of truth?
That involves a lot. Usually when you think about it, if you're involved in the crisis, it's sort of the worst part in some ways of your life. And it's very difficult to tell a complete stranger that I've made a big mistake and let me share all of that with you right away. So the client, you have to gain the trust of the client. And it takes time. I will say this about the truth. That it's one of those crisis rules, whether you are a client or someone who's living their life just every day, is that the truth has a funny way of not going away. And telling the truth is extremely important in dealing with any problem or crisis.
Surviving a crisis, Judy, means overcoming failure. When did you fail, and how has this failure made you a better crisis manager?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would probably say I actually had to take the bar twice. I think twice or three. I had to take it twice. And it was very difficult for me because it was the first time that I had tried something and I did not succeed at it immediately. So it was one of those lessons that if you want something bad enough, that you have to be very focused and you have to stick to it in order to overcome it.
In our 24-hour Twitterverse media culture, I've got to ask you, Judy, do you think that a problem or a crisis can ever really be solved or only contained and mitigated?
Yeah, I think it depends on the type of crisis. I will say, though, that I think with the 24-hour cycle that we're in, it has made it really difficult to handle crisis because someone can blog and put out something that may not be factual. And all of a sudden, that is around the world in seconds. And as you all know, sometimes the fact of it actually becomes fact, and it's not, and then it becomes true, and then the truth is the perception of it, and it just sort of goes from there. So it becomes very difficult a lot of times.
How has that made your job more difficult?
Well, I think that, you know, you want to get out there, and as they say, you want to correct anything very quickly that's wrong. But at the same time, I think that you have to balance it, and you want to make sure that you have the facts It's one of those things you can't put the genie back in a bottle once it's out. So you just have to try to mitigate it and try to get your side of the facts out quickly.
Most of us, hopefully, will never need the kind of assistance you've provided to presidents and celebrities. But what's the most important piece of advice you could offer to everyone who has to manage a personal crisis?
I think the most important advice I would offer is to have people own it. It's one of the things I talk about in my book. Whatever the issue is or problem is, you have to own it and you have to face into it. If not, it will just really get worse, and it will get compounded. You know, I think sometimes when we face problems and issues in our life, we have a tendency to really deny that a problem exists. Or sometimes we say, oh, it'll go away, or we can handle it. It's, you know, don't worry. I've got it covered. And a lot of times that's not the case.
Judy Smith is the author of Good Self, Bad Self, Transforming Your Worst Qualities into Your Biggest Assets. She's also the co-creator and the inspiration for the ABC show Scandal. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
This Sunday, HBO premieres a new comedy series that's written and directed by Lena Dunham, who first grabbed the media spotlight by writing and starring in her movie, Tiny Furniture, in 2010. She's 25 years old now, and stars in this new TV series as well. She plays Hannah, who spent the past 2 years trying to pursue her dreams and her idea of romance in the big city. Some people already are calling it Sex and the City for a New Generation. But our TV critic, David Bean Cooley, thinks of some comparisons that go even farther back, and one that's very, very modern.
In the very first scene of Girls, we meet Hannah as she's out to dinner with her parents. They've come to New York to drop a bombshell on their daughter. A bomb that the father drops reluctantly, the mother almost aggressively. And it's during this opening scene, when Hannah realizes she's about to be launched into the next phase of her life, that I fell in love. Not just with Hannah, but with this new HBO comedy itself. All three characters, the verbal and defensive daughter, the conflict-avoiding father, and the had-it-up-to-here mother, are written so completely that no one is given the edge in this very public verbal battle. It's a sign of script-writing maturity that makes it all the more impressive that Lena Dunham, the woman who wrote it and who plays Hannah, is so young. Hannah's parents, played by Peter Scolari and Becky Ann Baker, are both professors, which explains why all three of them, even when arguing, speak in complete thoughts, complete and very funny. I'm going to let this clip run for a while because the dialogue is so good and provides such a strong and such an accurate first impression of Girls.
Hannah, your mother and I have been talking, and we feel that it may be time. How can I phrase this? Well, we see how well you're doing at work, and you really seem to be figuring out what it is that you want. But it may be time for one final push.
What is a final push?
We're not going to be supporting you any longer.
See, I wasn't going to phrase it like that, Lorraine, the way you phrase it.
But I have no job.
No, you have an internship that you say is going to turn into a job.
I don't know when.
You graduated from college 2 years ago. We've been supporting you for 2 years, and that's enough.
Do you know how crazy the economy is right now? I mean, all my friends get help from their parents.
We are sympathetic to that.
But I'm your only child. It's not like I'm draining all your resources. I mean, this feels very arbitrary.
You don't know anything about our finances. I mean, we're professors, Hannah, professors. You know, we can't keep bankrolling your groovy lifestyle.
My groovy lifestyle?
The bills add up. We're covering your rent, your insurance, your cell phone.
You said it was cheaper for you if I was on the family plan.
Yeah.
May I get you more of anything?
No, she's fine.
Delicious.
Yeah.
This is nuts.
Dad, can you help me here?
I could be a drug addict. Do you realize how lucky you are? I mean, it doesn't have to be heroin. It could be something more insidious, like pills, which are legal and which a lot of kids do all the time. And then slowly, they become totally useless. They seem really high-functioning and then it just ruins them. Okay, my friend Sophie, her parents don't support her. Last summer, she had 2 abortions, right in a row. And no one came with her.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying that I am so close to the life that I want, the life that you want for me, that for you to just end that right now?
No more money.
It's
Starting when?
Starting now.
This jumping-off point doesn't remind me so much of Sex and the City as it does other earlier single working women TV comedies. The Mary Tyler Moore Show in the 70s, with Mary Richards landing a job at a Minneapolis TV station. And even before that, That Girl in the 60s, where Marlo Thomas played a young woman trying to make it as an actress in New York City. In Girls, Hannah lives in Brooklyn, not Manhattan. And she not only commutes, she has roommates and friends who give this series its Carrie and Company vibe. But these other girls, like Hannah, aren't glamorous professionals. They're quirky, still-forming individuals, looking for their identities as well as their career paths. But as they speak, we hear, as Hannah describes herself in one uncomfortably drug-induced moment, the voice of her generation. But the voice Hannah the character and Girls the series comes closest to echoing is that of Louis C.K.'s older character on the FX series Louis. He, like Hannah, seems to be fighting an uphill battle against life in New York and questioning what it all means. And looking for love in a lot of the wrong places, and venting frustrations in ways that sometimes are brilliantly clever and other times are hilariously nonverbal. As characters, both Hannah and Louis reveal themselves lots of times in less than flattering ways, physically as well as emotionally. And as behind-the-scenes creative types, both Louis C.K. and Lena Dunham are risk-taking, responsibility-taking auteurs. They write, they direct, they act, and they do all three in ways that aren't showy, but that burrow to the heart of what seems real. The oldest piece of advice given to young writers is a four-word commandment: write what you know. Some people hear that advice and run from it. Others take it and run with it, which is what Lena Dunham has done with Girls. As a result, the conversations sound like you've been eavesdropping. The sex scenes feel like you're watching voyeuristically, and they're unsettling for even more reasons than that. And what happens to Hannah, at least in the first few episodes, makes you fear that the poor girl just isn't going to make it. But don't believe it. Hannah, as written and played and directed by Lena Dunham, has a secret weapon. She's got spunk. And she's going to make it, after all.
David Biancooley is founder and editor of the website TV Worth Watching and teaches TV and film history at Rowan University in New Jersey. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Fred Snyder. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Melody Kramer is our associate producer of online media. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.